Chapter 24. Nodded significantly. I'm going to dump 40 coolies there, if I've to steal 'em. Somebody must work the stuff. Oh. I mean to act square. Wooden shed. Corrugated iron roof. I know a man in Hobart who will take my bill at 6 months for the materials. I do. Honor bright. Then there's the water supply. I'll have to fly around and get somebody to trust me for half a dozen second-hand iron tanks. Catch rainwater, eh? Let him take charge. Make him supreme boss over the coolies. Good idea, isn't it? What do you say? Tea, there are whole years when not a drop of rain falls on Walpole, I said, too amazed to laugh. He bit his lip and seemed bothered. Oh, well, I will fix up something for them, or land a supply. Hang it all. That's not the question. I said nothing. I had a rapid vision of Jim perched on a shadowless rock, up to his knees in guano, with the screams of seabirds in his ears, the incandescent ball of the sun above his head, the empty sky and the empty ocean all a quiver, simmering together in the heat as far as the eye could reach. I wouldn't advise my worst enemy. Dot, I began. Dot, what's the matter with you? Cried Chester. I mean to give him a good screw, that is, as soon as the thing is set going, of course. It's as easy as falling off a log. Simply nothing to do. 2 six-shooters in his belt. Dot, surely he wouldn't be afraid of anything 40 coolies could do with 2 six-shooters and he the only armed man too. It's much better than it looks. I want you to help me to talk him over. And no, I shouted. Old Robinson lifted his bleared eyes dismally for a moment. Chester looked at me with infinite contempt. So you wouldn't advise him? He uttered slowly. See, certainly not, I answered, as indignant as though he had requested me to help murder somebody. Moreover, I am sure he wouldn't. He is badly cut up, but he isn't mad as far as I know. He is no earthly good for anything, Chester mused aloud. He would just have done for me. If you only could see a thing as it is, you would see it's the very thing for him. And besides, why? It's the most splendid sure chance. Dottie got angry suddenly. I must have a man. There, Dottie stamped his foot and smiled unpleasantly. Anyhow, I could guarantee the island wouldn't sink under him, and I believe he is a bit particular on that point. Good morning, I said curtly. He looked at me, as though I had been an incomprehensible fool. Must be moving, Captain Robinson, he yelled suddenly into the old man's ear. These Parsi Johnnies are waiting for us to clinch the bargain. He took his partner under the arm with a firm grip, swung him round, and, unexpectedly, leered at me over his shoulder. I was trying to do him a kindness, he asserted, with an air and tone that made my blood boil. Thank you for nothing in his name, I rejoined. Oh, you are devilish smart, he sneered. But you are like the rest of them. Too much in the clouds. See what you will do with him. I don't know that I want to do anything with him. Don't you? He spluttered. His gray mustache bristled with anger, and by his side the notorious Robinson, propped on the umbrella, stood with his back to me, as patient and still as a worn-out cab horse. I haven't found a guano island, I said. It's my belief you wouldn't know one if you were led right up to it by the hand, he riposted quickly. And in this world you've got to see a thing first, before you can make use of it. Got to see it through and through at that, neither more nor less. And get others to see it too, I insinuated, with a glance at the bowed back by his side. Chester snorted at me. His eyes are right enough, don't you worry. He ain't a puppy. Oh, dear, no. I said. Come along, Captain Robinson. He shouted, with a sort of bullying deference under the rim of the old man's hat. The Holy Terror gave a submissive little jump. The ghost of a steamer was waiting for them, fortune on that fair isle. They made a curious pair of Argonauts. Chester strode on leisurely, well set up, portly, and of conquering mien. The other, long, wasted, drooping, and hooked to his arm, shuffled his withered shanks with desperate haste. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.